Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Joshua chapter number 8, and look with me in verse number 1. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise and go up to Ai. See, I have given it into the hand of the king of Ai, or given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and to her as thou didst unto Jericho, and to her king, only the spoil thereof, the cattle thereof, shall you take for prey unto yourselves. So lay thee an ambush for the city behind thee. So Joshua arose and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. Now, we're using verse number 1, where the Bible said, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise and go up to Ai. Arise and go up to Ai. I began preaching this morning on this thought, rising up after the fall. Rising up after the fall. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Father, you know what we stand in need of, and I pray, God, that thy divine will would be done. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd make preaching easy for us tonight. I pray, God, that you'd help us recall the things that we've studied, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that your people would get help tonight. I pray, God, that you give us fresh oil as we preach tonight. We'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Without going into great details, I began preaching this morning out of chapter number 8 on this thought of rising up after the fall. We dealt with how Joshua is now taking over the children of Israel and is leading the children of Israel, and how God had given them the victory in chapter number 6 there at Jericho. But in chapter number 7, there was the defeat at Ai. 36 men die. We know that Achan takes of the accursed thing. And I'll just give you this by way of introduction, and some of you preachers can take this thought and work it and preach it. In chapter number 7, there was the trouble with hidden sin. I wrote this down, thought about preaching it, but I didn't this morning. There was the concealed sin. There was the secret taken, the sinful transgression, and the serious truth. There was the consequences of sin in chapter 7. There was the defeat at Ai and the discouragement of Joshua. He fell on his face and questioned the Lord in verse 7 of chapter number 7. Then there was the displeasure of God. Then there was the confrontation with sin. There was the searching process, the solemn confession. And then there was a severe judgment, Achan, and all he had are destroyed in the valley of Achor. And can I just say this to you tonight? God still does judge sin, amen. But after the judgment of that sin, Israel had a choice to make. Was they going to stay defeated? And was they going to stay, can I just say it this way, laying down after a fall? I made this statement this morning. Each and every one of us fall along the way, amen. Each and every one of us has AI experiences where we are defeated every once in a while because we didn't do what we should have done. But I sure am glad that God does not want to leave us in our defeat, and God does not want us to remain in a dismayed mind. He said in chapter number 8, verse number 1, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. We learned this morning that that word dismayed means to beat down or to break down by confusion or by fear. That's what happens a lot of times in our life. When we face an AI moment in our life, when we are defeated along the way, when we stumble and we fall, the enemy wants to beat us down and to break us down by confusion and by fear. No doubt that's where Joshua was at in chapter number 7. going into chapter number 8. Man, he's confused. He's afraid. He's broken down because of the defeat. But God speaks to him, and he says that you don't have to be this way. So I said, number one, rising up from the fall, God wants to reestablish his peace in your life. God is not wanting us to live a life of being worried and a life of anxiousness, but God wants to reestablish peace in our life. God wants our life to be a life of peace. And we saw that through chapter number 8, verse number 1 this morning, that God is interested in us not living a life of dismay or a dismayed life. A life of confusion and defeat is not a life that is ordered by God. But God wants your life to be a life of peace, a life of a sound mind, a life of love, a life of living in His presence. That's what God wants for your life. Now, I want to look at this tonight. Again, God is not interested in you living a dismayed life. So we saw, number one, that God wants to reestablish His peace in your life. Now, number two tonight, I want you to note this with me. I want you to see that the Lord related His plan to Joshua. Once He reestablished the peace of God in Joshua, the Lord relates His plan to him. In other words, He says, Joshua, now that you know that I'm not mad at you, that you know that I'm not angry with you, that you know that there is peace that passeth all understanding, and that will only be found in the Lord. Can I get an amen right there? Now I want to show you your plan, or my plan, for your life. Now I want to say this to you tonight. God has a plan for your life. Amen. Can I say that again? God has a plan for your life. God wants to do something with you. You say, well, preacher, is God done with me? I can tell you the answer to that, no. You say, well, how do you know God's not done with me? You're still here, aren't you? You're still breathing. If you're breathing, say amen tonight. You're still, well, there's about three of y'all breathing. Somebody better get all the Surrey EMS on the way. You're still breathing tonight. You still got breath in your lungs. There's still blood flowing through your body. God has a plan for your life. God wants to use your life. Know what the Bible said in chapter 8. The word of the Lord, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people, and his city and his land. Note verse number 2. And thou shalt do to Ai and to her king as thou didst unto Jericho and to her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall you take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee an ambush for the city behind thee. You say, well, what is the plan for a Joshua? It's to go up to Ai and to lay an ambush for the city behind it. In other words, Joshua, God says, look, man, the peace of God is still with you. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go. Can I just say that before we move any further? I want you to go. I want you to do something. Here's what's going to happen if you've fallen. If you're suffering from your own fault or from the fall of someone else, here's what you're going to do. You're either going to lay around and wallow in your grief and self-pity. All right, I got four amens. I'm looking for 175. You're either going to lay around and wallow in your own grief or your own self-pity. And you know, that's what a lot of people do. Let me tell you the reason why. Watch this. It gets them attention. Oh, yes. You're either going to do that Are you going to take the peace of God and realize that God has a plan for you and you're going to go? He said, go up to Ai. The conquest of Ai is to be different than that of Jericho. Ruth Stewart said this, it would not come through the mere miraculous act of God. Rather, in this effort, their own conduct and courage was to be exercised. So many times we try to make God do the same things in the same way, at the same time as He did in days gone by. Think about this, David, the battle that David had with the Philistines when they heard that he had made a king. He was made king. The first time the enemy attacked, David inquired of the Lord and was to go up and fight. The victory would be his. The enemy regroups and makes a second attack. David inquires of the Lord, and it is told he is told to hide in the mulberry trees and to wait before he is charged into battle, according to 2 Samuel 5. Same God, same enemy, same battle, but there was a different strategy each time. And I want to say something to you. God, there's some things that God never changes on. Can I get an amen right there? But God does use a different strategy sometimes to get things accomplished. Theodore Epp said this, God never changes His character. God never changes His character, but He does not necessarily follow the same plans in everything He does. I can say this to you tonight. I cannot tell you what the plan of God is for your life, but I can tell you this. It's not God's plan for you to sit around and wallow in grief. It's not God's plan that if you're trying to get up from a fall, for you to stay on the ground. It is God's plan for you to arise from that and do something. I thought about this. The Bible said this. Proverbs chapter 24. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. Can I say that again? For a just man falleth seven times. But what does he do? He gets back up again. I remember, I'll give you this little illustration. I remember years ago, my dad and another preacher, I'll not call the other preacher's name, and you'll understand why in just a minute. My dad and another preacher had went to the Greer camp meeting in South Carolina. Brother Kelly started years and years ago, and Brother Joe Arthur is a moderator of that. Now we're working some things. Hopefully next year he's going to be with us a few nights. But Brother Joe is a moderator of that now. And Brother Joe... Matt, he called this guy to come up on the platform and pray. And then he said this guy stood up and buttoned his coat. He went walking up through there all dignified. And Brother Ted, when he got right to the steps, there's 8 or 10 steps that goes up on that platform, said he got to the second one and tripped and fell. Said he jumped up. Said whenever he jumped up, he made it about 2 more steps, Brother Lloyd, and tripped and fell flat on his face again. Said he jumped up and took about 2 more steps and fell flat on his face on the platform and jumped up and prayed. Now, you know what? That sounds like our life a lot of times. Man, we jump up and decide, man, I've went to the altar, can I just say it that way? And the Lord's gave me help. And we get up and what do? We fall again. But what does the Bible say? A just man, that even though he falls, he gets back up and goes again. I thought about this. Every one of us has failed the Lord at some point. Sometimes those failures can leave us feeling disqualified, discouraged, and even discarded. But the good news is we serve a God of second chances. He's not done with you just because you messed up. When we repent and return, He forgives, restores, and redirects our life. Man, we see it right here. Thomas Edison said this. Thomas Edison once said, of his many failed attempts at the invention, I have not failed I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work. Can I just say this to you tonight? Falling and failure does not have to be final in the work of God. Failure does not have to be final in the work of God. And I know I said this morning, and I'm going to say it again tonight, and then I'm going to give you a couple of illustrations from God's Word. We all fail God. We all miss the mark. We all mess up on a daily basis. On your best day, let me tell you what you are, a sinner. On your very best, now I know some of y'all, that's really hard for you to swallow tonight. I'm going to tell you right now, he ain't preaching to me tonight. You're the one I'm preaching to because you fixing to fall because the Bible said pride goeth for destruction and a haughty spirit for the fall. So you might need to be the one listening better than anybody else tonight. We all miss the mark. But I'm glad that whenever we fail God, I'm glad that whenever we miss the mark, I'm glad that we don't have to live a dismayed life, that God can speak peace to us and reestablish that in our life. Then God can show us His plan for our life. Again, I don't know God's plan for your life, but I do know this, it's God's plan for you to move on. I began thinking, and I'm going to give you three or four illustrations right here. I began thinking about those that failed in the Scripture. Rising from the fall. I began to think, Brother Stan, about those that failed in the Scripture. Can I give you two or three? Whether you want me to or not. Think about Jonah, the recommissioned prophet. His failure. Jonah ran from God's command in Jonah chapter 1, verse number 3. Instead of going to Nineveh, he brought back a ticket for Tarshish. His forgiveness, though, God got his attention in the belly of a fish. Jonah prayed and God gave mercy, according to chapter 2, verse 1 and verse number 10. His future, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, the second time, saying, arise and go to Nineveh. You say, preacher, what are you saying? There was a failure. But after his failure, there was a forgiveness. And after his forgiveness, thank God, there was a future. God doesn't throw you away when you run. He can still use you when you return. What about Peter? What about Peter tonight? You ever thought about Peter? Peter, can I say it this way? Jonah's the recommissioned prophet, but Peter, he's the restored preacher. Think about his failure tonight. Peter denied Christ three times. The Bible says that he went out and wept bitterly. You know, it's very interesting. I may preach on this before long. I've been studying it. You know, it's very interesting. After Peter, I don't know if you've ever seen this in your Bible. If you've read it, you've seen it, but I don't know if you've seen it. You understand what I'm saying right there? Whenever Peter denied Christ the third time, you know who saw him? Does anybody know who looks back and looks at Peter after he denies Christ the third time? It's okay to talk out loud. Does anybody know who it was? It was Jesus. Jesus is being led away. And when Peter denies Christ the third time, the Bible tells us in the Gospels that Jesus turned back and looked at Peter. Boy, I wonder what Peter saw that day. You say, well, I'm telling you what he saw, man. He saw the blood running off of Jesus. He saw the betrayal of everybody towards Jesus. Let me tell you what I think he saw. I think he saw the look of disappointment. I'd 10 times rather that my mom or my daddy, when I was a young person, whoop me than give me that look. That look of, boy, I'm disappointed in you. I'm disappointed in what you've done. Peter, listen to me. His failure was this. He denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And evidently the third time, it was even in Christ's presence. Because he turns back and looks at it. What about his forgiveness? Think about this. After the resurrection, Jesus restored him. with this. Lovest thou me? What about his future? I don't know if anybody's hearing me preach tonight. His failure, man, he denied the Lord. His forgiveness, God forgave him. But what about his future? Well, if you was to go to the book of Acts, chapter number 2, there's a day that is called the day of Pentecost. It's when the Lord had done a great work. Matter of fact, many refer to it as the beginning of the very beginning of the local church. Hey, there's somebody stands up and preaches, and the power and the unction and the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God that day, and 3,000 get saved, and that 3,000 get saved in that one service. Guess who it was? It was old denying Peter. Oh, yes, he failed God. Oh, but he went to God for forgiveness, and God forgave him. Amen. And God gave him a future. I thought about this. You may have failed the Lord in weakness or fear, but God can restore you and will still use you mightily. Can I give you another one? What about David? I'm talking about God revealing his plan to you. David. Man, what an interesting person. His failure, David fell into adultery and murder in 2 Samuel 11. A man after God's heart failed terribly. His forgiveness, when confronted, he repented. And Psalms 51 records this in his prayer. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Well, what about his future? Though scarred, God still called David a man after his own heart. The Messiah still came through in his line. Jesus Christ still came through the line of David and the bloodline of David. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. He may have failed, but there was forgiveness. There was a future. Your sin may have consequences, but God's mercy means your story doesn't end in failure. Can I say that again? Your sin may have consequences, and it will. But God's mercy means your story doesn't end in failure. What about Moses? We talked about him. Moses was the rekindled leader. David was the repentant king. Moses is the rekindled leader. Think about this, his failure. Moses killed an Egyptian and fled into the wilderness in Exodus 2. For 40 years, he lived in obscurity. What about his forgiveness? At the burning bush, God recommissioned him and said, Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh. What about his future? Moses became the greatest leader probably that Israel ever known. And guess who it was that led them out of Egypt's land? It was Moses. You may feel forgotten on the backside of the desert, but God can find you in the desert and give you a new beginning. I know I'm slowing down, but I hope you're getting what I'm telling you tonight. What about Mark? Boy, this one's interesting. The recovered servant. Just come start playing soft. Do you care to do that? What about Mark? He's the recovered servant. His failure. John Mark quit the missionary journey in Acts chapter number 13. And Paul refused to take him again in Acts chapter number 15. Think about that. John Mark quit the missionary journey in Acts 13. And Paul refused to take him again in Acts 15. Doesn't that sound like most independent Baptists today? You can say amen. It's all right to say amen right there. That's where they're at. What about his forgiveness? Later, God worked in his life, and Paul changed his view. What about his future? Paul wrote, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Mark even goes on to write the Gospel of Mark. Listen to this. Others may write you off, but God can write you back in. others, if I was Pentecostal, I'd say this, somebody needs to hear that. Others may write you off. Others may say this and that about you, and others may pull out their Phariseeism to disqualify you from serving God. But when others have written you off, God can write you back into the story. Mark, the recovering servant, others wrote him off, but God put him back in. Moses, the rekindled leader, you may feel forgotten, but God can find you in the desert and give you a new beginning. David, the repentant king, your sin may have consequences, but God's mercy means your story doesn't end in failure. Peter, the restored preacher, you may have failed the Lord in weakness or fear, but God can restore you and still use you mightily. Jonah, the recommissioned prophet, God doesn't throw you away when you run from Him. He'll still use you if you'll only return to Him. These men remind us that failure is not final with the Lord. Jonah got another chance to preach. Man, some of y'all ain't interested in preaching tonight. Jonah got another chance to preach. Peter got another chance to lead. David got another chance to worship. Moses got another chance to serve. Mark got another chance to minister. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I don't know what his plan is, but I do know this. His plan is not for you to sit still. He knows your past. He knows your present. And it's up to you what you'll do with your future. He's got a plan for it, but it's up to you. I read this. Matter of fact, I sent it to the young adults yesterday. W. Graham Scorgie said this. Let not past failure paralyze your present or mortgage your future. And I say that again. Let not past failure paralyze your present or mortgage your future. We've all failed. God's got a plan. And God wants to reestablish peace. It's up to you to let Him do that. Say, preacher, will God ever use me again? Sure. Say, preacher, will I ever rise again? Sure. The choice is up to you. The choice is not up to God. God is long-suffering to us. Amen. I know it goes on to say, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But can I say this to you? If you are saved tonight, we still serve a long-suffering God. And all we've got to do is run to Him in repentance. And thank God, He will restore our fellowship with Him. He'll reestablish His peace in our life. And I promise you, God will reveal His will to you, His plan to you. Moses was a murderer, and God used him. David was a fornicator, and God used him. I'm not saying all those things are right, but I am saying this. We serve a God of a second chance, thank God.